Roots. They anchor us, nourish us, and are essential for growth. In every journey of faith, it's the roots that provide stability, guiding our path forward. As we delve into the deep roots of the Methodist movement, we find more than traditions. We uncover the vibrant tapestry of our faith, woven through time by God's Spirit. Personal and social holiness, holy conferencing, grace, the sacraments. These roots are not just remnants of the past. They are living, breathing testimonies of God's enduring presence, shaping us, guiding us. Together, let's discover how they empower us, inspire our future, and breathe life into our journey today.
Our scripture lesson comes from Mark chapter 1, verses 4 through 12. And so John the Baptist appeared in the desert. He preached that people should be baptized and turn away from their sins. Then God would forgive them. All the people from the countryside of Judea went out to him, and all the people of Jerusalem went too. When they admitted they had sinned, John baptized them in the Jordan River. John wore clothes made out of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. Here is what John was preaching. After me, there is someone who is coming more powerful than I. I am not good enough to bend down and untie his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee. John baptized Jesus in the Jordan River. Jesus was coming up out of the water, and just then he saw the heavens being torn apart. Jesus saw the Holy Spirit coming down on him like a dove. A voice spoke to him from heaven and said, "You are my son, and I love you. I am very pleased with you." At once the Holy Spirit sent Jesus out into the desert. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together our opening prayer as we open our hearts to hear God's word. Redeeming God, we come to the water to celebrate God's goodness and love. We thank you today for the gift of baptism and how it unites us as one by the Holy Spirit. We thank you that before we do anything, you claim us as beloved, surround us in community, and nurture us to be your people. We come to the water to remember that we are beloved, cherished, and forgiven. Amen. If you ask people about baptism, most people think they know what it means right up until you ask them to explain it. And then suddenly it gets a little complicated. As I was sitting here thinking about what to tell Maggie about baptism, I thought I just want her to get one thing. Because there's about 12 things that are important to get about baptism, but she's 5. So I just want her to get one thing. I am beloved. Is it a symbol? Is it a sacrament? Why do Methodists baptize babies? Why don't we rebaptize people? Why was Jesus baptized if he didn't need forgiveness? Before long, everybody is confused, which is why we're beginning our new series, Rediscovering Our United Methodist Roots. And over the next several weeks, we're going to spend some time remembering who we are, where we came from, and what makes us distinctly Methodist. Now, whenever Christians start talking about our roots, there is a temptation to make it an exercise in nostalgia. We can spend our time remembering how things used to be, what churches looked like 50 years ago, or what our grandparents taught us about faith. But that isn't really what roots are for. I love that Maggie said that water is good for trees. Roots do not anchor us to the past. Roots nourish the present and prepare us for the future. A tree without roots cannot grow. A church without roots cannot thrive. And Christians who forget the foundations of faith often find themselves disconnected from the very things that gave them life. So we begin where Christians have begun for nearly 2,000 years. We begin with the water, where Jesus began his ministry. Which is fitting because baptism is often one of the first things that we experience in the life of the church, and yet it is also one of the things that is most misunderstood. Ask 10 Christians what baptism means, and you'll probably get about 10 different answers. And hopefully when you put them all together, you've got all the necessary parts. Some will say that baptism is a public profession of faith. Some will say that baptism is an act of obedience. Some will say it's a symbol. Some will wonder why we baptize infants at all. One of the things I've noticed over the years is that many people think that infant baptism is a dedication. We bring a little baby to church and we gather the family all around and we pray for them and we celebrate their life ahead. We think about who they might become. It's beautiful. It's a celebration. There are many churches that practice child dedication. They celebrate the child's future and the promises the parents make and the hope of a life devoted to God. But us, as United Methodists, have always understood baptism as something different. When we baptize a child, we are not primarily celebrating that child's future. We're celebrating God's claim upon the present. We're not saying one day this child will belong to God. We're saying this child belongs to God now. Before they can speak, before they can understand, before they can make any promises of their own, before they can make any choices, God has already claimed them as God's own. That understanding takes us to the banks of the River Jordan. John is baptizing. Crowds are gathering. People are confessing their sin. People are seeking forgiveness. People are coming to be washed clean. And then Jesus arrives. Raises an important question: why would Jesus need to be baptized? John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. Jesus had nothing to repent of. Jesus was without sin. John knows this and protests. Why should Jesus stand in line with everyone else? Why step into the waters meant for sinners? Because from the very beginning of his ministry, Jesus refuses to stand apart from us. Jesus joins us in the water as he joined us in the world. He enters our humanity. He enters our brokenness. He enters our suffering. He enters our struggle. He doesn't save us from a distance. He joins us in the water as he joined us in the world. This is an act of solidarity. This is the mystery of incarnation. God comes near. God comes among us. God comes to be with us. And when Jesus comes up out of the water, something incredible happens. The heavens are torn open. The Spirit descends like a dove, and the voice from heaven tells Jesus, "You are my Son, beloved, and I am well pleased with you." Notice when God says that, it is before Jesus has preached a sermon, before Jesus has healed anyone, before he's called his disciples, before he's performed any miracles, before he dies on the cross, before he accomplishes anything of significance. The first thing spoken over Jesus is not a task, it's an identity. Beloved, the first thing spoken over Jesus is not an expectation, it's a relationship. Beloved, the first thing spoken over Jesus is not a command, it's a declaration. It's what God says about us, beloved. And in baptism, God speaks that same word over us. Beloved, one of the reasons baptism is so important for our faith in our Methodist tradition is because we believe it is a sacrament. A sacrament is not something that we do for God. It's something that God does for us. It is an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. Through water and the Holy Spirit, God is at work. In baptism, God cleanses us from the stains of original sin. In baptism, God initiates us into Christ's holy church. In baptism, God adopts us into the family of faith. And in baptism, God marks us as God's own. Not because we have earned it or deserve it, or because we've figured everything out, or because we've got it all right, or we're ready, but because God loves us. I've always loved the language of adoption when talking about baptism. A child who is adopted is loved long before legal papers are signed. The parents have already opened their hearts. The relationship already exists. The adoption simply makes visible and official what's already been true. Baptism works in a similar way. God's love doesn't begin at the font. God's love is already there. Baptism is God's covenant sign that we belong. That is why we as Methodists baptize infants. Not because infants can understand theology or profess faith, not because they can have the answers to say, I do believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, but because baptism is first about God's action before it can ever be about our own. Eventually, every baptized child must grow into that faith. Eventually, every baptized child must claim for themselves what God has already claimed about them. But God's love comes first. God's claim comes first. Beloved comes first. And that's been true for all of you who've been baptized when you were infants or as an adult. Beloved comes first. A few years ago, I helped baptize a little boy named Benji. Benji has mitochondrial disease. It's a terminal condition. His body struggles to produce the energy his cells need to function. The disease often causes muscle weakness, developmental delays, difficulty speaking, trouble swallowing, fatigue, seizures in some cases, and respiratory complications. Benji cannot speak. Cannot move independently, and his older sister had the same disease, and she died when she was about 5 years old. His family knows the heartbreaking reality of what lies ahead for Benji. Benji will never get the chance to stand before a congregation and profess faith for himself. He will never answer the questions about confirmation. He cannot speak those words. He cannot make those promises. Yet we baptized him, not because of his potential, not because of what he might someday do, not because of a future decision that he could make. We baptized him because he's beloved, because he belongs to God, because God's claim upon his life is not diminished by his illness, because God's love for him is not dependent upon ability, because the Holy Spirit is present in every difficult moment his family faces. When water was placed upon his head, we were proclaiming something that had already been true since the moment of his birth. You belong to God. You are beloved. Jesus steps into the water for the same reason he stepped into humanity. He refuses to stand apart from us. Jesus stands with the sick, with the vulnerable, with those whose lives are marked by suffering. And perhaps that is something the church is always learning. In the book of Acts, Peter comes to a startling realization After years of drawing lines between outsiders and insiders, clean and unclean, acceptable and unacceptable, Peter finally understands that God is bigger, that boundaries are created by people. He says, God has shown me that I should not call anyone profane or unclean, that God has made pure. The church has to learn that lesson over and over again, across nations and cultures, race and class, ability and disability, across sexual and gender identity. Baptism reminds us that before we place labels on each other, God has already spoken over us, beloved. The waters of baptism belong to God, and God's love is always wider than our expectations. Now, some people ask a very reasonable question. If baptism is so important, does baptism save us? If we baptize a little baby, does that mean they're good to go for all of life? United Methodists have always answered this question carefully. Baptism is not magic. The water does not save us. Salvation is God's work from beginning to end. Faith is what saves us because God has given us faith. Discipleship still matters because it's important that we follow Jesus, that we take the steps he did. A person can be baptized and never grow into the faith God desires for them, but that also means that God will never stop seeking them. Baptism is not the finish line of faith, it's just the beginning. It's the beginning of a covenant, of a life in the church, of a life of a disciple, of a life learning what it means to live as God's beloved child. And that's exactly what we see in Jesus. The moment that he is baptized and declared beloved, the Spirit sends him out into the wilderness to experience temptation, because we experience temptation, and then he leads him back into the world, where he will show us how to walk and talk and live like him. He'll show us a better way. And the same is true for us. Baptism is just the beginning of our ministry. We have a ministry as baptized believers. At the end of Matthew's gospel, Jesus gathers his disciples and gives them one final command: go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything that I have taught you. Notice that Jesus does not say, go find the perfect people. Go find the people who have everything figured out. Go find the ones who have earned God's love, who deserve it. Go and baptize. Is all he says. Baptize them and teach them what I have taught you. Go and tell people that they belong to God, that they are claimed by God, that they are loved by God. Tell them they are beloved. As we begin this series on our United Methodist roots, there is no better place to start than at the water, at the place where God first claimed us, at the place where we were welcomed into the family of faith, at the place where the Holy Spirit begins shaping us as disciples, at the place where we hear once again words spoken over Jesus and spoken over us: you are my beloved child. And for Jesus, and for Benji, and for each one of us, baptism is just the beginning. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, we are thankful that there's nothing we have to do to be worthy to be called your children, that there's nothing that can separate us from your love, and that the water reminds us of your work in our lives. God, we thank you for adoption, for the inheritance of the Holy Spirit. And we pray that you would lead us as we seek to be your people. God, we pray for those who are struggling. We pray for those who are sick and ill, who are lonely. We pray for those who are in the hospital. We pray for graduates who are moving on to the next step of their lives. We pray for people who are grieving. And God, we just ask that you would cover your people in your peace, in your power, and your strength. God, we thank you for your presence in our lives from the moment of our birth to the moment of our last breath. As we seek to follow you, let us live out the prayer that leads us here at the gathering at Scott Memorial. God, help us to gather with you to feed the body, mind, and spirit while being Christ's hands and feet. Help us to love and serve our local community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.